Morning again, it's a pleasure to be with you. We're turning in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, reading the first 7 verses. Matthew 5, 1 to 7. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen, and God will bless his inspired word. God's people, the children of the kingdom of heaven, the blessed, are characterized by certain attributes. They are poor in spirit. They mourn. They're meek. And they hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they are merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Of course they are. God's people, of course they're merciful. Seeing their own spiritual bankruptcy, mourning about our own sin and seeing our failings and falling short of the glory of God, and in the light of that, making us meek or humble because we know it's nothing in ourselves. And yet at the same time, knowing that we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, so therefore we do hunger and thirst to be what we are declared in the kingdom of heaven. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. And seeing that righteousness that God has given us purely by his grace and mercy, we therefore are merciful to others. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, says, these verses are like the stairs of Solomon's temple that cause our ascent into the Holy of Holies. Blessed are the merciful. There is never more need to preach mercifulness than in these unmerciful times. End of quote. Imagine him saying that in the 1600s, unmerciful times. What would he say today? Our society is not merciful. We know that, don't we? What do they do to the wee unborn? Oh, they're so heartless. There's no mercy. But also, they're not merciful in another way. Because letting everyone do what is right in their own eyes is nothing to do with mercy at all. There's a lackadaisical lack of care, lack of consideration, lack of sense in our society. To show mercy, to be merciful, is in a very limited, not only this sense, but in a very basic, limited sense, to have a high standard of law or a standard which someone breaks or transgresses, and then that lawbreaker realizes that and they're sorry, then mercy in the light of that is an aversion of the penalty or judgment they would receive. To show mercy. But you see, our society doesn't show mercy, because our society has no standards. They don't care what people get up to. They let the law be flouted and the standards be flouted, and who cares? Except, of course, to do with financial crime, which they punish very severely, more severely than anything else, because money is their god. But mercy is far more than just that aversion of judgment upon a person. It's more than that, as I'll explain soon now. I have 2 points this morning, the same points as before. We investigate each of the Beatitudes in the same way. Who's the blessed, firstly? The merciful. And why? For they shall obtain mercy, is the second point. So who are the blessed? The merciful. Another symptom of a true child of the kingdom. Merciful. What does the word merciful mean? We know what it means in the English language, but the Greek word that is used here for merciful is this: to help the afflicted and to aid those in need. To show mercy. So it doesn't mean just not to punish a transgression. It means more than that. It means to help the afflicted and to aid those who are in need. I give you 3 or 4 quotes from good commentators on the verse. It's not just me saying this. Thomas Watson says, "It is a melting disposition whereby we lay to heart the miseries of others and are ready on all occasions to be an instrument for their good." We show mercy. It's an action, you see. Dixon, the other Scottish Presbyterian, he says, "Merciful, to be merciful is a holy compassion for the miseries of others, men's bodies and souls, and to do them good." A.W. Pink says, "Mercy is a holy compassion of soul, whereby one is moved to pity and to go to the relief of another in their misery." End of quote. So you see, in those commentators, the repetition of the same theme. In the Bible, merciful, to show mercy, is to show pity and compassion to those that do something that gets them into trouble, or to go to and help those in need. And that's the biblical and historically accurate Christian virtue. You can look in church history, you'll see that all Christians, especially the ones you read off in church history, the famous ones, they are merciful people. Because the blessed are merciful. Mercy is acts of mercy. The child of God is merciful. Spurgeon started the orphanage. He started many other things. But you can pick any great name from church history, and you'll be able to see from their lives the things that stick out. They showed mercy to others in need. And that's why, and it is why, no matter what the secular world tries to spoof you about, that's why it was Christians that started schools for poor children in this world. And it was Christians that started hospitals. And it was Christians that started orphanages. And all other forms of charity were started by Christians. In India, China, Europe, United Kingdom. Because mercy, compassion for those in need flows automatically from the Christian mindset. The child of the kingdom of heaven is merciful. Mercy. They are compassionate and care for the soul and the body of those in need. Now, the pagan world never cares for those in need. Oh, they may pretend, but they do not. And as the secular world has taken over schools and orphanages and hospitals and charities, what has happened? A lot of the people working in those organizations now do not care. They're not looking after the people. There's neglect. It's a career. Now, you know, if you want to have a charity, there are laws in existence against money laundering in charities. Because that's what they do. In most charities, over 90% of the money that is given to them goes on their own expenses to pay wages. Less than 10% goes to the actual people in need. Imagine there being money laundering laws, laws against money laundering in charities, because these things have been infected by the unsaved world's mentality. If they were run by Christians, if they were run by the merciful, you wouldn't need those laws. If they were run by compassionate people, you wouldn't need those laws. They were started, hospitals, schools, orphanage, they were started by those who gave themselves and gave what they had for others. They were not started by secular leeches who want to skim for themselves. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In Matthew 24, 23 and verse 14, Jesus condemns the Pharisees for their so-called charity. Woe to you, for you devour widows' houses. And then for pretense, you make long prayers, taking the homes of the old poor widow into their temple coffers. Oh, it was an excuse for charity and donating it all to God. Jesus condemned. Almost the exact parallel today is the British government, or any other government in the Western world. Inheritance tax. What's that? I'll tell you what it is. Your parents' home that they worked all their lives for and paid tax on their wages and paid tax on their fuel and their food and everything else, and they still were able to buy a home. Inheritance tax. The government wants it all. When your parents die, that home, if you don't watch it, can be devoured by the government legally and paid into the care homes at exorbitant amounts. They stick their arm right in to the shoulder against the needy, the widows, the orphans, the poor. Greed. The true child of God is merciful. They have pity and compassion that does something for those in misery, not taking advantage of those in misery. Because that's what our society, our government does. That's what pagans do. Secondly, why? Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. They shall obtain it. And the wee word shall in the verse is a future tense passive verb. They shall have mercy. They shall have compassion and mercy showed to them. In the future, the merciful will have, they will possess and have compassion showed upon them, but they're passive in it. It's done to them. It's something done to them that they're not active in. They are passive. Blessed are the merciful, for they in the future will receive the mercy. Now, that, of course, means we are merciful. We will receive mercy. Why is that? Well, because we are Christians. These are the signs of a true child of God. We are merciful. It's the sign, if we're merciful, we're a real child of the kingdom of heaven. Now, some liberals look at verses like this, and they do look at this verse, and they actually read into it, see, we don't actually need the gospel. We just need to be merciful. Because if we're merciful, God will be merciful to us. So you get works salvation. And some liberals actually do take the verse in that way, or twist the verse in that way. That is the opposite of what the verse teaches. Mercifulness warrants salvation. They also take, for example, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 in the same way, where it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses." Liberals and do-gooders love verses like that. And they say, look, there you go, your forgiveness by God is dependent on you forgiving others. So do you want to be forgiven? Well then, go around forgiving others and you'll earn or warrant forgiveness yourself. That's how you get forgiveness. That is so wrong, taking verses out of context, against the teaching of the whole Bible and the chapters. It's a very, very bad hermeneutic. Because the verses mean just the opposite. The Sermon on the Mount is what? The Beatitudes are what? The characteristics of a true child of the kingdom. They already believe the gospel. They're a true child of the kingdom. This doesn't mean that we merit forgiveness by forgiving others, but rather the teaching is that unless we forgive others, there is no evidence that we ourselves have been forgiven by God. That's what Sinclair Ferguson says. That's a quote from him. The verse is saying a Christian is forgiving. A true Christian is forgiving. As your Heavenly Father forgives you, you forgive others and so on. And the same with merciful here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Being merciful is a sign of a true child of the kingdom. Being merciful is the natural result or characteristic of receiving Christ, trusting in the Lord, and experiencing the grace of God showing mercy to us. Therefore, we show mercy to others. It's a sign we're saved. The merciful shall obtain mercy, because the merciful are the only ones that are true Christians. The same as the poor in spirit are the only ones that are real Christians. And those that mourn over sin are the only ones that are real Christians. And those that are meek are the only ones that are real Christians. And those that hunger and thirst after righteousness are the only ones that are real Christians. So also those that are merciful are the only ones that are really Christians, because they're showing the attributes of a child of the kingdom of heaven. A true child of God shows the symptoms of a true child of God. I'm going to recap and apply. Number one, who are the blessed? The merciful. The true child of God is merciful, full of pity and compassion, that does something for others. And why are they blessed? For they shall obtain mercy. They shall in the future receive the pity and compassion of God for all eternity. What about application? The application is simply an exhortation that we be merciful. We want to be, if the Spirit indwells us, and we should be. Be Christ-like. What is a Christian? Someone who follows Jesus, isn't it? That's what it means. A follower of Jesus. A Christian follows Jesus. They are a follower of Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda, and there are crowds beside that pool, and they're waiting for the angel to stir the water, and the first person then got healed. Who does Jesus go to? He goes to this lame man who couldn't walk, and in pure mercy and compassion, he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The man says to Jesus, "Sir, I have no man. You know, to take him to the water." Jesus says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Who did he show mercy on? Out of all the crowd, he showed mercy to the one man out of all on the ground, the one that had no hope of getting to the water. No hope. He was merciful. He showed mercy. In Luke 18, Jesus is passing through Jericho for the last time, and blind Bartimaeus is sitting at the side of the road. And he hears that Jesus is coming, and the crowds are with Jesus, and they all were following Jesus. There's a multitude of these people that are all crowding around Jesus. They're meant to be followers of Jesus. And they hear a blind, pitiful wretch crying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And what do? "Speak quiet, you." They're not merciful. Sure, they're not. And he cries all the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 39. And Jesus stood and commands him to be brought to him and says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And Bartimaeus says, "That I should receive my sight." What faith, eh? "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Just mercy. The crowd was not merciful, but who was merciful? Jesus. He showed mercy to those in need. Zacchaeus, up the tree, the same. When he saw the multitudes, a sheep without a shepherd, what did he do? He had compassion on them. Peter the blunderer, he had mercy on them. Why? Well, as it says in Ephesians 4, and verse 4, God is rich in mercy. 1 Peter 1, 3, he is abundant in mercy. Why should we be merciful? Well, do you remember the day that Christ visited you in mercy? I remember the day he visited me in mercy. It might have been in your bedroom. It might have been on the factory floor. It might have been in the car or the hospital. You remember the day that Christ stopped for you and called you to come forth, when you were conscious of God and conscious of your sin, and all you could say to him was, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, when we remember that we are saved purely by his grace and mercy, then we must be merciful and compassionate to others, because God was merciful and compassionate to us. He didn't save us for any good in us, did he? We are to be Christ-like. And if we're honest, doesn't he visit us in mercy every day still? For without his constant mercy and grace, we would fall. Exhortation number two, or teaching number two. A person who is not merciful is cursed. That's what the Bible teaches. Let me read to you. We should have sung this, actually, but I picked Psalm 51 instead. Psalm 109. Look at Psalm 109, verses 7 to 16. Let me read it to you. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Wow. Let his prayer become sin. This is a man that prays. A professed child of God. Let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has, and let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them continually be before the Lord, that he may be cut off from the memory of the earth. Why? Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken heart. What a list of curses upon a man. A man who prayed. Why? Because he was not merciful. The blessed are merciful. They're the real ones. Thirdly, let us be merciful to the souls of others. In pity, let us advise and exhort sinners to flee to Christ. We must reprove sin and call sin, sin. And we must pray for sinners and lead them to the Lord if we can. That is mercy. And let us be merciful also, if we can, to the physical needs of others. The teaching of James, I remember preaching through James, it's a very good book, practical, but in James 2, where it says, if you say to your brother, be warmed or be filled, but you give him not what he needs, what does that profit? So there's five applications, or four applications. Be Christly. We're cursed if we're not merciful. Be merciful to souls. Witness. Lead to Christ and be merciful in the area of physical needs. What do you feel? What do you feel when you think of God's mercy to you? It's very important, isn't it? What we feel about that. Thomas Watson says, the mercy of God makes a sinner proud, but makes a saint humble. Isn't that amazing? When God shows mercy, a sinner will be proud. Oh, I'm great, I'm better than your denomination. Oh. But it'll make a saint humble. Humble. The mercy of God. If anyone here listening is not saved, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up. Sue for God's mercy today. Show mercy. In the year 1912 was the year the Titanic sunk. On that ship was a Baptist pastor from Scotland. His name was John Harper. He was on that ship with his 6-year-old daughter and his 11-year-old niece. When the ship started to sink, you know what he did? He preached the gospel on the decks to any that would listen. When they came to the lifeboats, he put his 6-year-old daughter on the lifeboat and his 11-year-old niece. But he gave his seat to another woman with a child. He showed mercy. More than mercy, it's actually grace, that is. And then, as the lifeboat went away, he made his daughter an orphan to save someone else. That's real mercy. As the lifeboats went away, as the ship was sinking, he was still running around the decks, preaching the gospel to any that would listen. And at last he gave another man his life jacket, and he said, "You need that more than me, because you're not saved." And the ship went down, and he went into the water without a life jacket, and of course the water was freezing. And the last thing we heard about him was he was preaching the gospel in the water while he was swimming to people. Before he died, he showed mercy. Mercy to those in need. And we must show mercy to those in need because God has showed mercy to us. Vodi Bakum. It was his mercy that woke me this morning when his justice would have killed me last night. God is merciful. Thank you for your time.